is the subject matter
of Noah and the Flood. And we're studying the second volume topic on Bible chronology. And we've covered the segment of history as it's recorded in Genesis, the fifth chapter, up to the Flood. And we noticed that in the volume there's a convenient listing where you add up from the birth of the different sons, at what age the father was, and you add them up and you come to 1656 years. But this matter of how long the flood was, I know, has excited the attention of many Bible students, but no discourse has been given to my knowledge in detail of this account. We are trying to harmonize as to exactly what the nature of the calendar was in that pre-deluge area. And in Genesis, the seventh chapter, we have a time chart of the sequence of events that occurred in connection with that flood. In Genesis, the seventh chapter, in verses 7, 10, and 16, we have what amounts to the account of Noah and his family entering the ark and God closing the door, and subsequent to that occurred the flood. We might read briefly that account in the beginning. Verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." This latter expression can be confusing. There are two pairs of unclean and seven pairs of clean animals. "Of the fowls of the air also by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth." Now, this here part has been troublesome to understand this particular verse, that he was 600 years of age when the flood was upon the earth. He certainly was not 600 years of age when the Lord instructed him, "Come thou hither, thy wife and thy children and children's wives, into the ark." He was not then, because the flood was not yet upon the ark. So it's sandwiched in there, that statement, that he was 600 years of age. Now, normally, if you thought of this verse just by itself, you would say, well, when was he 600 years of age? At the commencement of the flood? During the flood? At the conclusion of the flood? Three alternate possibilities. But it sounds, first, when before analysis, as though it's referring to the beginning of the flood. But that's erroneous. And we have two ways of proving that it's wrong, that it has nothing to do with the beginning of the flood, which we'll subsequently treat later. Don't let me forget it, because that's a critical point of 1 year. Now, the seventh verse, "And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beast, of beasts that are not clean, of fowl, of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass that after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." Now, the Lord told him that in a week the flood is going to occur. So he's given a week's time to get the animals all in, his own household goods, and he's in the ark. Well, we can see, because when the animals would come in, he would see that they'd be put in their appropriate stalls. But that does not mean that he never went out for those 7 days, because the door had not yet been closed. So he would go in and out, but most of the time he'd be in, because he has planned this thing, even the building of the ark, as to which compartments, which animals were to be distributed. But at the seventh day, that was another matter. There may have been a ramp, which I believe there was, that led up to the entrance door, and there would have to be certain disengagement, but he couldn't lock that door from the inside. Must have been quite heavy, for one thing. Maybe not with all the conveniences that we have today. But God shut that door and bolted it, as it were, figuratively speaking. And when that occurred, that was at the end of 7 days. Now, in this account, you'll notice that in the first line here, I say, Noah and his family enter the ark, God closes the door. Well, that entrance is a week. This is the date given, the second month and the 17th day. So I just merely backed off a week to get this here, this the second month, the 10th day of the month, that he actually began to get into the ark. But theoretically speaking, this is the critical point here, because the flood starts and the fountains of the deep were opened up, as well as the heavens, that the source of the flood was from two areas. The waters above, where torrential rain came down, and the oceans below, the fountains of the deep. Not the fountains of the deep sky, but the fountains of the deep in the surface of the planet, that the oceans were involved in connection with this flood as well. So this is a critical date, and that's in verse 11. In verse 11 we read, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month. So now, this 600 should be 600th, 600th year. Tells us that it rained for 40 days, then ended. And this part is explained in the 12th and 17th verses of the 7th chapter. The 12th verse, the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The 17th verse, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. So it took quite a bit of time before the boat was ballasted, brought up, buoyed up above the surface of the earth. So this date, where I have the third month, the 27th day, is also conjectural, but all you do is you add the 40 days to this, to the, I'll say, February 17th, just 217, and now I have March 27th. This is not strictly true. There's a variation which we'll discuss later. But we must have some sort of framework, a reference work, to begin an analysis. Even though the skeletal framework, there are areas of a little bit of pliability or flexibility. So it rained for 40 days, and this is just because it's the 40 days is in the account, and it's mentioned twice, verse 12 and verse 17. Now, when we come to the 20th and 24th verse, and the 8th chapter and the 4th verse, by putting the information together, we say that the flood prevailed 150 days. Then later, there's a break here, the ark rests upon the top of Ararat. We do this because to get all this information here, the board would have to be doubled in size, you know, to break it up in actual sequential steps. Now, we'd want to discuss this. The 7th chapter, verse 20 and 24. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. That 15 cubits is in there, and it's very interesting because it tells us at what point of the ark, if we were to reconstruct the ark, at which part there would be a sufficient buoyancy of the ark floating on the waters that there would be a necessity of 15 cubits clearance from the surface of the water down in order for that ark to float. Because as the water would come up the side of the ark, it would have to come up a considerable distance, but when it would come up to the 15 cubits mark on the side, and incidentally the ark was 30 cubits high, that at that moment, then it began to lift. Now, it tells us that in this account, that When it reached that 15 cubits upward, did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now, this helps us to see the nature of the flood. That the flood was not as usually imagined as a universal flood that covered the entire globe at a certain level of height. Let us say that, let's take the erroneous view, which almost everybody has. The 15 cubits, if you had that prevailing on the surface of the earth, it would not cover the Himalayas, which are in the 20,000 foot bracket, which is several miles high. So it does not mean that the water covered the earth, the entire globe, to a height of 15 cubits, and in that 15 cubits, everything was covered. Every mountain on earth. That wouldn't make sense. Because now, the thing is, we feel that there was a depression that occurred. That instead of the waters floating on top when the fountains of the deep were broken up, you had a huge crevasse and a sinking of the earth. Now, if you had an orange and gave it the proportion of an earth, the area of the civilized portion of the earth as it existed in Noah's day would be a very, very small dimple on that orange, but very large from the standpoint of man in its breadth of several hundred miles. That in that depression, the mountains went down a sufficient depth that the highest mountains in the vicinity where Noah lived and the civilization existed, that it covered the highest mountain by 15 cubits. So it's 15 cubits plus, but the part that is plus is underneath, is in that depression, and all the waters would gush in into that area. There are several ways of showing us, but this would be a very long talk. Now, in verse 24, it tells us the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now we find that 40 days is mentioned, 150 days. And then in the 8th chapter, verse 4, and the ark rested in the 7th month and the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And that's why we underline this in the beginning, that it was the 7th month, the 17th day, that is a definite figure, a figure that is actually in the Bible. And based on the beginning when we read earlier, let's see, we just read it a minute ago. This is telling us how long the flood prevailed, 150 days, and then the water began to recede. There was a high point, and the high point was when everything was covered 15 cubits upward as far as that depression is concerned, and then it began to recede, the waters. And in that receding, the ark, which is like a tremendous barge, rested on the top of Mount Ararat. But the top is underneath the boat, so he wouldn't see it. In other words, if he looked out the window, it'd be water everywhere. But the bottom, where the ark's going to settle, that's underneath, so that cannot be seen. So then it tells us, in the 5th verse of the 8th chapter, that the tops of the mountains were seen. The waters decreased continually until the 10th month on the first day of the month. So we have this date. Tops of the mountains seen. So that when he would now look out, not only was the bottom now covered, but the ark is still resting there, so he's still not seeing down there. But when he looks out, he can begin to see, coming up like islands in appearance, would be the tops of these various mountains. But the water is still prevailing, as it were, as far as the flood is not over. In the next line that we have on the chart, it says that after 40 days, that he sent a raven out as well as a dove, and the dove that found no rest, 8th chapter, verses 6 to 9, which we'll read, came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro, until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. So when he sent these birds in, the dove came to his hand when it returned to the ark because it had no resting place. There are symbolisms here that we cannot even begin to discuss today. But here's another period that is definitely in there. So we have 40 days that is mentioned in the account. We'll discuss these later from why the problem has existed in understanding the subject. Yes.
Can we ask a question?
Yes, yeah.
From the seventh month, the 17th day, when the ark rested on the mountaintop, till this going and decreasing of the until the mountains were seen on the 10th month, the first day.
Yes.
In terms of the number of days that transpired.
Oh, all those we're going to discuss later.
Okay,
at the end. We're just doing this for the benefit of the tape, so that if somebody has a diagram, they at least can see the explanation. Where just seeing the diagram is no solution, just looking at it. Now, in the next verse, in verse 3, even though we're backtracking now, it tells us that the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. So we have abates 150 days. So we have two 150 days. We have two 40-day periods, which is of interest. These are symbolic. This is not the subject matter today. And the account in the third verse tells us. Now, this is a condensation of what occurred, and it mentions different things that occurred, but there are certain clues. In that third verse, you'll notice that it does not tell us what date. These that are not underlined are conjectural. Theoretically, they're not exact, but they are just a sort of frame of reference. I have the 12th month, the 17th day that the flood abated, had abated for 150 days. Now, next line. Verse 10 and 11 of the 8th chapter. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came into him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so that Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. In other words, now he has more physical evidence in connection with this olive tree, which we would not expect on the summit of a mountain. The olive tree would be down in a low, very low level before when it grew. So when getting that leaf, he now knew, because he's in a rather peculiar situation. He's on top of a mountain with this barge, and he can only see a limited area. He's looking out from the top, and it tells us the dimension of this window out of which he looks, and he has certain problems as this water abates because of the mountains. He has an obscuration of his vision in connection with surrounding mountains that blocks his view with seeing very extensively. So he's using these birds to do the investigating for him. Now, it doesn't say anything about the raven, and this puzzles some, but we would feel that with regard to the raven, that the raven would find its rest originally very easily on top of the ark, because that would be like an island in the storm that to which the raven could return originally. But the dove is a more gentle and tame bird, generally speaking, and it was this that he used as his, as it were, homing pigeon to give him this information, which obediently came and went from Noah. So we have another thing. It says after 7 days that the dove returned in the evening with the olive branch. Did I read the 11th verse? Let's see. Yes. The evening came and lo, that was in the mouth. Now the next. Verse 14. This is a conjectural date, which I'll just discuss later. 8:14. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. Second month, 27th day. And this is underlined. These underlined dates are in the scripture itself. And the earth was dry. This then would indicate the time when the flood ended. Now we have to explain a few other things, loose ends like. You'll notice It says, back here, with regard to verses 12 and 13 of chapter 8, it says, after yet another 7 days, the face of the earth was dry. And down here, it says the earth is dry. Well, in the vicinity where he was, when he would be looking out the window now, he could look down and he could see that the face of the ground originally around the ark was dry. But the mountain is up many thousands of feet. He had no way of knowing for sure with regard to down in the lowland on the plain whether this was the same circumstance there. So the face of the ground being dry back here in verses 12 and 13 of the 8th chapter, it has to do with the immediate environs of the boat itself, the environs about the boat, that there the face of the ground was dry. But it wasn't until the second month, the 27th day, that we have a statement, the earth was dry, meaning not just near the top of the mountain where he was situated, and his, but the water had completely disappeared. And thus this is the theoretical end of that period of time. Now these other dates, which we will circle, the 600th year, the second month, the 10th day, that's a conjectural day, and just hypothetical, and it's not meant to be exact. It's just a reference point. This here is also hypothetical, and this here. This, though, is important, this one, because of other reasons. Now, we'd like to know what was the calendar that existed that this refers to. Well, there's several things you have to consider. One is which is you'll notice that with two of these dates, at least here, the beginning, it tells us that it was in the 600th year of Noah's life that the flood was upon the earth, but it does not mention the 600 in connection with any of these dates here until we get down here. It says that in the 601st year that the first day, first month and the first day, that the face of the earth was dry. Now, this 601 is equated with Noah's life, right? I mean, it wouldn't be since creation. It wouldn't be since Adam. So when it uses this term, 601st, that it's referring to Noah since his birth. We feel that actually, it doesn't state it that way so succinctly, but that this, like we'd say, January 1st of the year that Noah was born, that he was born, at the beginning of the year, as it were, of the year that was in use at the time prior to the flood, that he was born on this particular day. Here, I shouldn't circle it, because that's not. Because in order for it to be the 601st year of Noah's life, he would have had to be 600 years of age in order to be 601st year. That does mean that it's technically possible back here, a little distance, he could have still have been 600 years of age. But I'm inclined to think that this is the statement. That's the first day, the first month that this occurred. So the 600 is equated to Noah's life. Now we come to this second month and 10th day, or in these various periods, it gives the month and the day. What calendar was used? We're only familiar, normally speaking, from a historical standpoint, even though scientifically speaking, there are about three more years that could be attached, but they're so scientific that they're not in use by the layman, generally speaking. If it were the solar year, if the calendar that existed at the time of the flood was like our solar year, give or take a fraction of a day, we would then find that from this point here to 17 of the 600th year of Noah's life, to the second month, the 17th day of the month that's listed in the 601st year of Noah's life, that this would be 1 year. But if it's 1 year, that's 365 days. Our solar calendar is 365, except for the leap year when it's 366 days. So this would mean that the flood was 1 year plus 10 days. Which would be 375 days. We don't feel that's the case at all, but we're trying to show this, how we can pinpoint it with accuracy. It's done scientifically by a man very many years ago, even before Pastor Russell. But the language is so scientific that it's very difficult to give it as a subject. So we're trying to simplify it by the evidence that exists in the Bible itself. Now, if it's a lunar year, like we're accustomed to in connection with Bible prophecy, to say that whenever we figure time periods in the Bible that are symbolic, that the days there or the years are related to a lunar month. So we transfer the 3.5 times, you multiply it by 30, and so forth. The lunar year is involved, 360 in that case. But in some smaller periods, the lunar month would be a 30-day month. Now, let us consider, was that the calendar that was used? Not a solar, but, say, a lunar year in which you'd have 12 months all equal of 30 days. Well, 12 times 30 is 360. Now, let's add that. From this point here, 217, to 217 down here, this is a hypothetical point here, but we're just going by that calendar that was used back there, whatever calendar it was, the second month, the 17th day of one year to the second month, the 17th day of the next year, does give us a yardstick of measurement. Now, in this case, then, it would be 360 days, but you still have 10 days extra here, down here to the 227. From 217 to 227, the second month, the 27th day, there's another 10 days, so that would mean 370-day year. Now, as far as the flood is concerned, so in one case, you have 375, 6, depending on the fact, and the other case, it's 370. 360 plus the 10. This is 365 plus 10. These are the two. Now, there's another year that's involved. Now, we have what we're accustomed to as the solar year. You also have what is called as a synodic year. S-Y-N-O-D-I-C, a year composed of 12 synodic months. This is based on lunations. And a synodic year is 354 days and 367 decimals. This is the synodic. Let's see, to prove this. A synodic month, 29.5306 days, a synodic month. So what you do, you'd actually multiply that by 12 months just to see if it comes out now. That's 12, 6, 9, 59, 15, yes. It comes out the same. I just take it in three places. Now, this is what appears. For instance, visually, it looks like the sun goes around the earth. Right? We see it rise and so. So we're speaking from the visual aspect, and that's the way they thought in terms anciently, that it traverses its circuit. The sun, it's there, but actually there are a number of other scriptures that show that the Lord knows what he's talking about. He's talking from man's standpoint and from his standpoint, which are two different things. But from the visual standpoint, a synodic year would be the lunations that take place when you add up the accumulation of them over this 12 lunations, you come up with this figure here. In other words, the moon is in the same place a year later that it comes back. It appears to have encircled the year. If you observe it each night, that in connection with its transit, it gives that appearance. So it's the appearance of a circuit. And it amounts to this amount of days. Now when we go back to this. Actually, this is added for other reasons. This could be all dropped out. We only need, really, this date here, 217, the 1-1, and the 227 to figure this out. Now, we go from the 217 of one year to the 217 of another year. That's the year that's spoken of, which is the thing that's in question. Is it a solar year? Is it a 30-month, day-month year? Or is it a synodic month year? Now, let us consider from this last standpoint. from 2 here to 2 here would be the 354. So then you'd have here the 354 fraction plus the 10-day period that's here from 217 to 227, the second month of 27 days. That's the last date, 227. So you tack on then the 10 to the synodic month. That isn't the end of the matter. But now we're getting down to where it's getting close to what we feel. Now, next. You'll notice that it only gives the month and the day. It does not tell the hour of the day. That's important. So when we go from the second month, the 17th day of 1 year, to the second month, the 17th day of another year, we are presuming that's the exact moment of time, both periods. But that isn't necessarily true. Because when it talks about the flood starting and the fountains of the deep opening up, what hour of the day did that occur when the heavens were opened? The Bible doesn't tell. But we're going to give a little conjecture. But to show that what year is actually involved without changing these figures at all, with no change of these figures. All right, now, from this point that's mentioned in Genesis, the 7th chapter, verse 11, when the fountains of the deep were broken up, when the flood started, to the following year, at that same point of time, now we're saying that from line 2 on this chart, down to here to this line, which is, let's say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the 10th line. This we're going to assume, it doesn't matter what hour the day is. Whatever it was here, we're assuming it's the same down here. Just for reference, to get that 1 year that is spoken of there, whatever it is. But when we go from here to here, when the earth is dry, when it makes the statement that in the second month, the 27th day, the earth is dry, it does not say what hour that theoretically occurred. So you have two possibilities here, and we're going to demonstrate. We'll take this. This synodic month is exact. This is not a guesswork. But let us say that the flood started 6 o'clock at night, when the sun set on the date that is mentioned in Genesis, the 7th chapter, verse 11, that at that date, that it started at the beginning of that Hebrew reckoning. Because it was Hebrew reckoning as far as the day is concerned itself. Because it's evening and morning. Even the creative days, it says evening and morning, the first day. So the literal days would be reckoned from evening and morning very anciently, back in Noah's day. So we're assuming that the flood then started at sunset, the beginning of that day, which is called the second month, 17th day. That it was 6 p.m., the beginning of that day. Let us say that in just to show how this can be exact with all these fractions floating around, that it can come out exact, we would demonstrate this way, that in Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 14th verse, where it says the second month, the 27th day, we're going to say, hypothetically, that that was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. From 6 o'clock at night of one day to 3 o'clock in the afternoon of that same day, but it's on the morrow from our thinking today, is a period of 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is 12 hours. 6 a.m. to noon is 6 hours. From noon to 3 in the afternoon is another 3 hours. In other words, it's 21 hours, right? From 6 p.m. of one day to 3 p.m. of the following, which is still in the same day, is a 21-hour elapse of a 24-hour period. So we put down 21/24 is the fraction that is involved. If you reduce this 21 fraction to a lesser denomination, you divide this by, let's see, in this case, 3. 3 into 21 goes 7. 3 into 24 is 8. You have a fraction of 7/8 of a day This is all hypothetical, but it's to demonstrate this 7/8 is a fraction. 0.875 of a day. And it's 10 days later. Notice that from the year, when we said 354.367 days of a synodic year, that was from the second month, the 17th day of 1 year, to the second month, the 17th day of another year, but it's the 27th day, not the 17th, so we have to put a 10 here. 12, 14, 2, 5, 6. 365.242 solar. That's the only way of reckoning that it comes out exact. Now, why, you say, why make such a fuss about that? Because in almost all ancient writings of many nations, the thought was, by tradition, the flood was exactly a year-long solar reckoning. That's commonly known, but nobody would explain it based on Genesis, because there's a little, they got lost in adding the 150 days, the 40 days, the 7 days, another 7. That isn't the way you do it. You do it on, based on those other month and the day. That's the critical point to the ending period, where it gives the very day that the flood ended and the day it started. So you have a definite reference point. All these others are more or less, they can confuse you in trying to understand. They can be reconciled, but then everything is conjectural when you do it that way. This other is something that's very definite. There's no flim-flam with regard to the calculation. So we feel that we made the statement in the study that we felt that the flood of Noah's day was an exact solar calendar day year, solar tropical year. And we don't need all that other information. You only need the two reference points, actually. The beginning and ending. That's all that's needed. We put in that 10-day earlier period, an actual month and a day, just to get a year, 1 year, to add those extra days, those extra 10 days. Now, the next. How do we know? Now, Brother Russell, when you look at his table, and you're adding up all these dates, how old Adam was when he had a child, so, and you come all the way down to Noah, you have a 600 there, right? You have a 600. How do we know whether this 600 of Noah's life had to do with the beginning or the end of the flood? We feel it has to do with the end of the flood, and we'll try to demonstrate. It doesn't mean it has to be exactly 600 years to the second from the time he was born till the time he died, but that he was 600 full years of age when this occurred. And we'll demonstrate it this way. In a later chapter, it tells us that Noah lived 350 years after the flood. I forget the verse. Somebody find it just to get on the recording. It tells he lived 350 years after the flood. It tells us he lived a total of 950 years. 950 minus 350 is 600.
Genesis 9, verses 28 and 29.
All right, Genesis 9, 28 and 29 tells us, and here's another checkpoint. This 350 years is from after the flood. So when you're backing it out from the total number of years of his life, this 600 is up to the end of the flood, and the 350 is after the flood. So you add 600 to when the flood ended, to the 350, and you get, so this is a double check. And in this account here, it said the 600th year, and the 600th year does not mean he was 600 years of old. When you begin any year, you're just starting into that year. So we feel that from that standpoint, that that answers the things that are very puzzling and has troubled many. The trouble has been to try to add up the details. It's like not being able to see the forest because of the trees. We've got to back off in connection with examining some of these prophetic things. And we feel this is significant, this solar year, based on Enoch's life. Enoch's life, it says he lived 365 years before God took him. And anciently, they always felt that Enoch his life in connection with his transfer when God took him, that that was related to the solar calendar. That's in many of your ancient histories. But no explanation. We feel that there were many, many brilliant minds, anciently speaking, that we have just lost. The books are not available, so that doesn't mean we descended from the ape. Far from that. Adam was perfect. And we know that in the period before the flood, there may have been all kinds of inventions and knowledge. But when the flood came and wiped out civilization, the only transfer was Noah and his immediate family. They're the only ones that came over that barrier of the flood. The works we have, we know nothing about except what Genesis tells us about the various ones who worked with music or with brass and so forth, and it mentions the names. And we know from other traditions, it's the multiplicity of these traditions that gives some credence that there was something back there to make that come up in their minds, where today we wouldn't even make any association whatever because of the confused account of Genesis. It's not confused, the account, but our confusion in connection with approaching that subject. And so this was meant to be a study, but you can see if you had a question and answer period in connection with this type of program, that you would not be able to even begin to hold the continuity of thought. You'd be lost in the various questions. So that's why we approached it this way. And we wouldn't want to give this as a talk to a convention or something like that, because we feel that it has no particular value from that standpoint. It would be great difficulty in connection with broaching this subject in that manner. And this is more personal, private study here that we can consider the matter. So the hour of the day, too, is a big factor of the dates that are mentioned. And they can be arranged. One other thing. How did they keep track of these synodic months? Well, they go by the lunations. Now, the lunation might be a 29-day month. It might be a 30-day month. The 30-day would be too high. The 29-day would be just a little too little. Because, remember, it was 29.5306 days. It's 29 plus, but it's 30 minus. And so by having a certain number of days as 29, they're going by the lunations, they would come to a period where it's almost like a halfway mark. They make a decision as to which day this will be reckoned. And in schools, we have been taught with regard to fractions at what point to make a whole number. In some countries, when they come to the halfway point, they do not add a one whole. We are more accustomed here to do it that way, but in some other countries, no. They go to the lower number. And then when they add up, they count on a counterbalancing in the overall figure. And it will end up the same way. It doesn't seem that it would, but it does when you have many, many fractions. That whether it's, you reckon it one way or the other, it comes out the same. It counterbalances. So we feel that when going by the lunations, it would be considered, this is a new day. No matter if it's 29 days in the past, this is the first day of the next month. And then another time it'll be 30 days before they see this particular, with regard to the phases of the moon. Incidentally, you have your four quarters. The new moon, the full moon, the first quarter, the second quarter. And these are the four parts observable where you have this shading of the moon, which the ordinary person could more or less see. Another factor. Many might think this is before the flood. How could they do that? There can be misunderstandings here too. In connection with the creative days, you had in the beginning a great shroud around the earth that was dark. It was so thick and so impenetrable that at one time there was darkness upon the face of the deep. That's how thick it was. No light came through. Then when it came time for the ordering of the face of the earth, the Lord made the first created day. Let there be light. And the material that dropped from this veil about the earth at the poles and came down in various layers, as the heavy material deposited, it left a more diluted veil about the earth, and light began to come through the first created day. But not in the sense you could see an orb. You could not see an orb. You just saw a diffused light, but you couldn't see that exact thing. But when it came to a later creative day, when you had the sun, moon, and stars, this is still going on. This precipitation is going on during the first creative day, the second creative day, the third. And then when you came to Noah's day, at that time, it all deposited, all the impurities, the darkening aspect, and you had clear water. Now when they would look up in the sky, it would look clear. And being that it encircles the whole globe, that it went, in looking at it, you would not have the distortion that you might, you could see the stars. And it mentions that, that they're set for signs and so forth, that they were observed even in Noah's day. And that's why they looked up and they couldn't see anything, because it was clear. It was clear water. But that clear water, nevertheless, made a hothouse effect of the planet. Even today, the invisible ozone, they have other gases too. They're worrying about this accumulation in the upper stratosphere of these gases, that you can't see them. But they're beginning, they say, if it gets up to a certain level, it's creating a hothouse effect on the Earth and will disturb us mightily. It might even, like, jeopardize in time the living conditions of man down here on the face of the globe. And this is an invisible gas, not water, gas that's involved. So we feel that these lunations could be observed prior to the flood as well as after the flood, with the pure water veil and with its absence, that you were able to make this observation. There are many, many questions. We're just trying to think from the top of our head of a few that might be puzzling and might be thought of as an objection. Any other questions before we close this study? I bet it was a long one. I thought it'd be 20 minutes, half hour maybe. Can we close this study? And we have questions after.